and welcome. This is Tiny Big Moments, a podcast about the tiny moments in early childhood that teach us big lessons. I'm your host, Clarissa Donnelly-DeRoven. I'm the communications specialist here at Parent Corps, an evidence-based early childhood program housed at NYU Langone. On any given day, if you walk into Miss Migdalia's classroom in the Bronx, you will meet an unusual three-year-old.
Can you use your other hand to hold and support his head? There you go.
What are you doing? Who's on your hand?
Marco.
Who's Marco? Is he a member of your classroom?
No, he's a puppy.
And if you go next door to Miss Caitlin's classroom, you'll meet Sunny. Do you know, does your friend Sunny like vegetables?
Yeah? He loves carrots, but I don't like the taste of carrots.
Marcos and Sunny are, as our pre-K friends have shared, puppets. But they also do the things that real-life preschoolers do. They have favorite foods, they take naps, they go outside. As Ms. Migdalia explains...
Does Marco go outside to the playground sometimes with us?
No.
You took him outside one time, yeah. And where was he?
In the park.
In the park, but where in the park? What was he doing?
His last
slide. On the slide, yeah, he went on the slide with us. You think he had fun?
Yeah.
I think so.
Sunny and Marcos also experience big emotions. During our visit, one little boy, who we'll call Jack, told me he was drawing me a picture of Marcos. As he glued gemstones onto a circle, Miss Migdalia asked what part of his face those were.
You can use it as a mirror. All right, is it going on Marco's head?
Yeah.
Oh my, okay. Wow, it's a beautiful red.
Maybe this can be his
crop
drop.
His what?
His crying drop.
His
what?
His crying drop. Oh, he's crying.
Because he likes crying.
He likes crying. What makes you cry?
Well, that makes me when I leave from school.
When you leave from school, you cry? Why?
When my mom leaves sometimes.
Oh, when your mom brings you in the morning. Right.
I cry.
You do. Why? Be careful. You're going to drop these nice gems, these stones. But then after mommy leaves, you're okay? You mean?
Yeah.
Yes? Are you okay when mommy leaves?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? All right.
Is that also why Marcos cries? Does he get sad if his mommy leaves?
Yeah.
He does. What can we help? What can we do to help Marcos not be sad and cry?
He has other children and other classes.
Oh, other classrooms maybe.
What Jack is getting at there is that when he's feeling sad, Marcos might want to talk to other kids in other classrooms about his feelings. Marcos has helped Jack and all the other children in his class learn that when we have big feelings like sadness, fear, or anger, we can make choices to help ourselves through those feelings. Marcos and Sunny are part of a social-emotional learning program called Friend School that was developed by the team here at Parent Corps. During Friend School, children learn to navigate strong feelings, build healthy relationships, and they get practice developing a positive sense of self, which includes their cultural and racial identities. In today's episode, we're going to talk about the Friend School puppet, where it came from, what role it plays in the classroom, and why it works. We'll hear from Parent Corps staff, pre-K teachers and students, and maybe even a puppet himself.
My name is Dr. Dana Rule, and I'm a clinical psychologist and programming manager here at Parent Corps. So I focus a lot on our work with teachers, including our professional development and our coaching of teachers to support them in their work with children in the classroom, and also to implement our Friend School program.
Over the years, parts of Friend School have changed, but there's always been one permanent fixture.
I've been working with Friend School for 15 years since I first arrived at Parent Corps, and we've always had a puppet as part of the Friend School. I think it's the highlight for both teachers and students alike. The puppet is really meant to be this model student, and model not meaning perfect or perfectly behaved, but really just your average child, and also a child that follows the directions of the teacher, but also can bring in their feelings and their concerns, their worries, their struggles, their problems, so that they can really provide an example for students to walk through skills as they learn them together. I think what's cool about our puppet is that as our program has become more and more focused on children's identities and also making sure we're attending to diversity in our communities, we've really helped teachers think about and consider, who do they want their puppets to be? What identities do they want their puppets to have? What puppet identity is really representative of the kids in the classroom? Who can best help kids learn and also feel so that kids can feel represented themselves in the classroom?
In Ms. Migdalia's class, for example, Marcos is Latino. So is Ms. Migdalia and a good portion of the kids in her class. During our visit, my colleague Cindy got to ask one of the preschoolers about that.
Do you speak any other languages? Do you speak Spanish?
Yeah.
What does Marcos speak?
Spanish.
Spanish too?
Yeah, me.
Wow.
Sometimes teachers will want to give the puppet a cartoon identity, and we really encourage them not to do that. Because though it would be fun and playful, we really want kids to feel like this puppet could be me. Teachers have thought about the housing experience or where their puppet lives, sometimes even their family structure. So the puppet might live with their grandma or maybe a single father. We've seen a really wide representation racially and culturally for puppets. And sometimes we've had teachers think about their puppet having an immigrant experience to be able to talk about that in the classroom. What I see most is that kids in the classroom, when they see themselves represented, they just really light up. You know, they feel like they're not alone. And it also helps teachers be able to talk about issues in the classroom or that any children might be wrestling with in a way that just feels really normalizing.
I think there's just a deep sense of validation when you see parts of yourself outside of you, you know? To really recognize that this identity is valid. It's part of our classroom. This identity is welcome and accepted. And so as kids are, first of all, just learning what their identities are, and then recognizing what identities are really loved and embraced and cherished in our society, where there's different messaging about different identities, right? To see that this identity and this puppet's identity is loved and cherished and embraced and affirmed, I think that then really translates to kids' views of themselves.
Seeing positive representations of themselves is an important part of how young children start to develop their understanding of who they are and what kind of person they can be. Research shows this kind of identity development has a big impact. Children who have a strong racial or ethnic identity are more likely to do well in school, have higher self-esteem, and get along well with others.
Representation matters. I will say for myself, it's so important for myself as a Black woman to see folks that look like me, that represent me, and I think the same for the classroom. And especially if you're talking about a classroom that's predominantly Black and brown children, you know, of course you want a puppet that looks like them.
That's Tara Bowser. She's a parent core educator, which means she works with the Friends School program and also with our program for the families of pre-K children.
So I grew up in the 70s, and much of the material in the 70s, the children did not look like me. And so I can honestly say I wish I grew up seeing more books, seeing more children that looked like me in books. It would have instilled more pride in myself as a Black woman a lot sooner. I grew up in an age where my family thought that color blindness was an essential value, and I think accepting everyone is an important value, but also seeing yourself represented is really important. I think for myself, it created this feeling like I had to be somebody else, I had to be other, that I wasn't good enough in myself. And I often worry about that in children. If they don't see themselves, are they getting this message that who they are in their own skin isn't good enough or isn't lovable? I think about the doll experiment where, you know, you have the Black children and they have to choose which doll that they want, or they have to attribute certain characteristics to the doll. And, you know, in that experience, you know, the Black children were choosing the white doll and they were saying the Black doll was bad. And so I think about that a lot. And so that's why it's so important to see themselves represented, and see themselves represented in a positive way. And so, yeah.
A big part of Tara's role is supporting early childhood teachers as they implement Friend School, which is important because
they're nervous. There's something about like controlling the puppet that makes teachers nervous. Actually, myself too, because you just want to make it feel real. Like it's only until they see the children's reaction that's when there's more excitement. Because often when I ask about the program, how's it going? It's often the children love the puppet. And so
teachers get nervous operating the puppet for lots of reasons. It's new, it feels silly, they don't want to mess up. It all makes sense. And it's also a perfect lesson for pre-K kids. As Dana explains,
there can be a lot of fear in trying something new and doing something in front of other people, making a mistake or messing up, or not knowing the lines that they want to say or the puppet's backstory they want to tell. And all of our work with kids of this age is really about helping them learn while making mistakes and growing by taking risks and really encouraging that growth mindset that we're always trying and working on something and we're always practicing something. The same is true for teachers.
When teachers are developing the persona of their puppets, the puppet often comes to be a version of who the teacher was as a young child. That's certainly true for the puppet that my colleague Cindy, who you heard earlier, uses.
So tell me about Kenji.
Kenji's my other half. No, Kenji's my puppet. Kenji is, I don't know, it's kind of weird. Kenji's described as Hispanic boy on his tag. But Kenji has a striped red and blue shirt. He has jeans and he has red Converses. He has short hair like me, black hair, and he has, I'll say, like light brown skin. And you know, I am a huge cook, a huge food nerd, huge food science nerd. And one of my favorite like recipe developers and fellow food science nerd is J. Kenji Lopez Alt. And I decided to name my puppet after Kenji. So
What's Kenji's like backstory? Like who's his family? Where does he live?
That's a good question. I hadn't thought about it too much. I tend to actually just go from my life, I think, which is that Kenji has a mom and a dad, a little sister, just like I do, and lives with a beautiful rotund 14-pound cat like I do. So yeah, I would say he's living his best life.
Does he speak any other languages?
Yeah, so I speak, I'm half Japanese, and so, and Kenji, J. Kenji Lopez Alt, actually, is also half Japanese, and so I speak a little Japanese, so I will sometimes bring that element in.
Tell me about, like, Kenji's personality and about developing that personality.
Gosh, good question. I think Kenji, what is his personality?
From what I've observed, yeah, sure, of Kenji, he's a good listener, oh, and he's an active listener. In my experience, he nods his head.
I think, yeah, Kenji does like to be involved. He also likes to show people that he's paying attention and that he hears them. And I think that Kenji is everything that I wish I could be, which is a better listener and showing that I'm engaged. I'm often quite distracted as a person. And so, you know, I don't really make eye contact very well. I've heard people have told me. So, but Kenji's like very aware that he should be looking at who's speaking, that he should be nodding his head. But sometimes he's a four-year-old like the rest of them and likes to be a little wiggly. And, you know, I like to bring in that element of just like these little movements that help the kids see that this thing is alive, that this thing is real, and that they can, you know, they can ask him questions and learn from him.
Lots of teachers do the same thing as Cindy. They create a puppet that, were it to magically come alive, wouldn't be dramatically different from the other four-year-olds in the room. That's what Miss Tanya, a pre-K teacher at PS1 in Sunset Park, Brooklyn, shared with us.
I really wish that we were on camera because I'm watching Tanya and what's your friend's name, Tanya?
Diego.
Diego. I'm watching Tanya.
That's Lisa, another Parent Corps educator.
And Diego is just like doing this interpretive dance with his hands, and which is something that Tanya kind of like doesn't really sit still. Like she kind of is always like moving and like being expressive. And I just, it's killing me that like he's sitting on your lap, but he's doing these really groovy hand movements. And
Diego was waving to Rosita over there.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. I did not. But this is like one of the, like our students, some students that we don't tell them to sit up. We let them lay on the floor and you mm-hmm. see them. Diego be on the floor. Diego be in the cozy corner. Yeah. Next to Rosita the first.
So why do you do that?
Because it's like the children sit and he's there in the cozy area. And there's a couple of times where we caught like the kids talking to like Diego, like, because he is in the cozy corner. Really? So it's like that their friend, whatever. If the kids are playing, you see a couple of them that will talk to Diego. Uh-huh. So, yeah, Diego's been very helpful.
But he's not the perfect student. He's a unique student.
What student is perfect?
Yeah.
Mm. The puppets play a part in all of the Friends school lessons, and their roles are especially helpful when speaking about big feelings. In one lesson,
the puppet shares a time where they were angry.
That's Dana again.
And then we have students think about if there's a time when they feel angry themselves. And they're really excited to share after the puppet does. Or maybe even more vulnerable feelings, like a time when the puppet shares that they were scared, or a time where they felt excluded or left out. That's a time when you really see kids wanting to connect with the puppet and say, me too, and then share some experience they might have had as well. Maybe more than they might have if we had just asked them outright. And I think there's some kids who are always really ready and willing to share about themselves, but there's other children who kind of need an example first or need to know they're not alone in it before they're really willing and ready to share about their own experiences. I see this as a psychologist, but I also see this the most with my own children, that sometimes, oftentimes actually, they have a hard time talking about their own feelings, but they're very ready to help me figure out my feelings or to help another child talk about their feelings. When I am able to share about experiences from when I was a kid, my son just lights up. He's really excited to know that he's not alone in it. He wants to help me figure out my feeling and what I can do to solve my problem much more readily, much more accessibly than me asking him about some struggle that he's having or some big feeling that he's having. So I think it really provides a window for kids to think about how they can help the puppet, and in doing so really learn skills that they can eventually and hopefully transfer to themselves.
Tara has seen that play out in the classroom. She was working with one teacher, and that teacher's puppet was upset.
And so the puppet was sad or angry and walked off. Walked off into the cozy area. And I believe the cozy area was a tent at this time. And so she had the puppet go and sit in, I believe his name was Jose. Had Jose go and sit in the tent. And the children walked over to Jose and they would ask, like, how are you feeling? Are you feeling okay? Like, they would check on Jose to make sure that he was feeling okay. And just and understanding that this is a place that you go when you're feeling sad or angry, or when you have some sort of, you know, big feeling, or you just want some time, you know, alone. And so Jose was able to model, like, this is what we do when we have these feelings. And then it was just, and it was extra special when the children went to check on him to make sure that he was okay. So
providing children with the language to talk about their feelings also supports later lessons, like when kids and the puppet get to practice talking about qualities they like about themselves, both internal and external.
We're giving them the vocabulary. We're saying, here are some of those things that you're feeling. Here are the words to them. And the lessons on internal and external characteristics is also giving them the language, the vocabulary, a way to describe those things that they see in themselves, and also build affirmations, build a sense of pride. Here are some of the things that are about you that are unique and beautiful, And these are things that we hope that you find unique and beautiful in yourself and build some self-love and increase their confidence. A lot of times I think we're like that, like it's good to feel, it's great to feel good on the inside, and that's so important. But a lot of times when you get bullied, you're getting bullied about a lot of things on the outside. And so it's important to focus on both the external and the internal.
One of the main goals of the puppet and Friends School in general is to make sure children's early learning experience is not just about academic skills like math and reading, but social-emotional skills. Learning to process feelings and build relationships is not a distraction from learning. In fact, early childhood social-emotional development is considered the foundation for children's long-term health and development. Cindy, who we heard from before, has thought about this a lot. Before she came to Parent Corps, she was a pre-K special education teacher.
I think Friend School could have been really useful for me to interrogate my own teaching practice as a person who was really serious, who was really like driven by academic success and achievement in my students. I think that, yeah, Friend School could have helped me reflect on what are the true goals that I have for my kids. And I think like the true goals that I have for my kids is that I hope that they know how to make friends. You know, there was this one time where I was teaching summer school, and it's, you know, these kids that I don't really know, and I only had them for a couple of weeks. But anyway, one day, this one kid in particular, Eugene, he was Chinese, had a big mohawk, and I thought it was so cute. And mom always dropped him off. And one day, dad requested a meeting with me. And Eugene was so incredibly bright. He could write and read English and Chinese. He was writing in paragraphs as 4 years old, like wildly brilliant when it comes to his writing and all that stuff and math. Anyway, so dad requested a meeting with me, and I gathered up all of this, like, you know, his writing, like little writing samples, drawing samples, like his math stuff, whatever. And I was prepared for this meeting. And dad came in, he sat down, he started talking to me about, you know, how Eugene is doing, blah, blah, blah. And so I showed him all this stuff, like, look at how well your son is doing. He's like writing this stuff and he's like learning these things and blah, blah, blah. And I thought I was doing great. And he burst into tears, the dad. And I was like frozen, stunned. I had no idea what was happening. And, you know, after he calmed down a bit, he said, "Do you think he'll ever have a girlfriend?" And I was stunned. I was like, "What?" And he was like, "Do you think that he'll ever have a girlfriend? Do you think he'll ever make friends?" And I was like, "He's great. He's so funny. I mean, he likes the adults more than he likes the kids, but all of the teachers think that he's so charming and wonderful." And he's like, "Yeah, I just worry, like, I see him learning and progressing, but I don't ever see him with other people. He's always just by himself, and it makes me so sad." And truly, in that moment, I was like, here I am, also a half Asian person, immediately assuming that this Asian dad was going to want all this academic proof that his son is doing well, and all he wants to know is if he can make friends. It changed my whole life, like realizing that. And I was like, whoa, you know, these are the things that families really care about. And these are the things that school really helps kids do, is to like learn and be with each other. I think that like if I had a program like Friend School in the Classroom, it's just another opportunity to create a safe environment for them to experiment with how to make a friend, because Kenji's never going to be mad at them. You know, Kenji's never going to make fun of them. Kenji's never going to bully them. But it's just a safe place to, you know, even if they don't like Kenji and they like, you know, try to push him or whatever, Kenji's not going to push them back, because it's like a safe place to just experiment and figure out how to be a person.
Thank you for listening. Tiny Big Moments is produced by me, Lila Eldomiati, Lisa Elrott, and Cindy Gray. Special thanks to Shanika Gunaratna for editing support, and to Dr. Dana Rule, Tara Bowser, the pre-K teachers at PS1 in Sunset Park, and the pre-K classrooms at Bronx House for participating. Our theme song is Fancy Day by Sunsides, available through Pixabay. You can learn more about ParentCore on our website, wearparentcore.org. You can support ParentCore programming by donating to the link in our description box.